Welcome to Grief is the New Normal. I'm Dr. Heather Taylor, a licensed psychologist and grief specialist, here to help change the conversation about grief and build community and connection while we all adjust to this new normal we are living in. This podcast is for you if you are grieving or if you are supporting someone in a season of grief. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, everyone. This is such an exciting special episode. We have our guest today, Miss Anna Murphy. She's a licensed therapist based in Philadelphia, where she maintains a solo private practice called Skylight Wellness Center, and she specializes in grief and loss. Before becoming a therapist, Anna worked in end-of-life care as a hospice social worker and end-of-life doula. Anna is interested in how the emerging field of ecotherapy can support people on their grief journey. So she brings over a decade of experience as a Buddhist meditation practitioner and mindfulness instructor to her work, helping others to find opportunities for growth during times of change and transition. Wow, Anna, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Heather. I'm so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we're just going to jump right in. I'd love to just have you introduce yourself a little bit, talk about your background, and what do you do? What's your therapy world look like?
Yeah. So I'm based in Philadelphia, as you mentioned, and I currently own a solo private practice where I support people who are grieving a loss or going through a life transition. I work with folks who may be navigating multiple transitions in their lives, from work to relationships, changes in identity. I do a lot of work with the LGBTQ community, and I am really interested in how grief shows up in our lives. I think at this point in time, coming out of the pandemic, we're kind of going through a reckoning as a society with grief. And so I'm interested in how that's showing up in our lives individually as well as collectively, and how we can address that.
I love that. Thank you. So you mentioned that you specialize in grief and you also have an interest in ecotherapy. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your journey to specializing in grief first, and then we'll circle back to ecotherapy in a little bit?
Absolutely. My interest in grief work really kind of stemmed out of my experience with meditation and studying Buddhism. One of the core elements of Buddhism are the teachings on impermanence. And so working with this idea that life is always changing, right? Passing from one state to another. And also the acknowledgement that change is really scary and really hard. We're not really great as humans as navigating change and uncertainty. I know that's something that I struggle with. So those teachings were so important to me and the practices that I learned through mindfulness meditation. And through that interest, I found myself volunteering as an end-of-life doula during a time of professional transition in my life, and discovered that I really loved working with people who are facing the end of life and supporting the caregivers and folks in their lives who are supporting them. And this actually inspired me to become a hospice social worker. I worked in hospice full-time for several years, which happened to intersect with the first few years of the coronavirus pandemic. So it Wow. was intense and kind of a heavy time, but also the work was just so heart-opening and inspiring to me. And it really crystallized my interest in supporting people who are going through a life transition and grieving a loss with all of the different forms that that can take.
Wow. So you just started your social work stuff during the pandemic, like right at the beginning.
So my work as a hospice social worker.
I had
actually been in the field for over 10 years at that point. So the turning point for me was kind of turning towards clinical social work. And it was at that juncture that I entered the field of hospice work as a way to gain experience working with individuals and communities. So my training in that sense was kind of unusual. I was working in community settings. I was driving around, visiting people in their homes and long-term care facilities, working as part of an interdisciplinary team that included nurses and chaplains. And so the community-based aspect of the work was actually really important to me and kind of reflects my orientation as a social worker. We're trained to really view people in the context of the social environment. So I think one of the things that has inspired me to pursue ecotherapy is really being aware of this connection between our individual journey and what's happening around us, that we're not just separate, isolated individuals, but we're part of a context, a social context, environmental context, and that there's healing work to be done in all of those different spaces.
I love that, especially the context-driven piece, like having that extra language, the awareness, that foundational buildup. I think that's so important. So then do you mind expanding more on ecotherapy and kind of what's really sparked that interest and what is it? I don't actually know much about ecotherapy, so I'm excited to learn today.
Absolutely. So ecotherapy is really a kind of new and emerging field. I'll kind of caveat that by saying that, of course, as humans, we have been healing in nature since the beginning of time, right? It's long been known that there are deep benefits to be had from spending time in nature. And the field of ecotherapy, I think, is really, in a way, kind of reframing some ancient wisdom and making it more accessible to folks who, for whatever reason, may not be interested or may not be a great fit for traditional talk therapy. So very simply, ecotherapy is bringing therapy into nature or bringing nature into the therapeutic process. So this can actually happen in a more traditional setting where perhaps there are natural objects like plants or aromatherapy or a collection of stones and shells that are brought into the therapy room and are kind of used as a springboard for reflection and meaning making. But ecotherapy can also mean getting out of the office and doing walk and talk sessions on a trail or sitting on a bench in a local park. And there are other folks who are developing group ecotherapy experiences, right, that might include longer hikes or even backpacking or wilderness stays. So there's really a wide range of what ecotherapy can look like. But I think it can be a really great fit for folks who are interested in sort of stepping beyond the typical therapy office dynamic and engaging their bodies and their minds in connection with a therapist in the natural world, which can provide all kinds of inspiration and metaphors for growth.
That's amazing. Okay, so then when you think about the intersection of grief and ecotherapy, what does that look like? What's involved there?
Yeah, so I'll start just by mentioning some of the benefits of ecotherapy, and then I can talk to why that can be a great fit for people who are grieving. So some of the documented benefits of ecotherapy are reduced anxiety and stress, reduced levels of cortisol and other stress hormones that can really take a toll on our physical and emotional well-being. Increased vitality, just the movement aspect and breathing the fresh air and moving our bodies. It's interesting. EMDR, which is typically done in an office setting, my understanding is that that modality was actually developed through research that shows that bilateral movement, such as the movement that takes place when we're walking, can actually stimulate changes in our neural pathways.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you knew this. I do EMDR, and I tell my clients that all the time when we're in between sessions. If you're feeling activated, go for a walk because the walking motion simulates the bilateral stimulation.
I love it. Yes. Right. So we're always telling our clients to take a walk and get outside, right? So this is kind of bringing the two together. So for someone who is depressed, for instance, and maybe having a hard time leaving their house, or someone who has been told that they should exercise, but maybe they feel intimidated, they're not sure where to start. Some folks may not have the knowledge of where to find the local hiking trails. I'm based in Philadelphia. It's one of the largest cities on the East Coast, but we have so many incredible parks and natural spaces. My favorite is Wissahickon Valley Park, which offers just an incredible ecosystem with a creek and rocky cliffs and all kinds of meadows and forest spaces. And it's just an incredible resource that not everyone necessarily is able to access in the same way. So ecotherapy can be a great way to help engage our clients in that kind of behavioral activation that can be so helpful when someone is depressed, feeling stuck in their lives. And certainly for folks who are grieving a loss, we know that there's often that sense of inertia that can set in. Mm. And so getting out, getting moving and reconnecting, connecting with a therapist, connecting with nature, and potentially with other people going through a similar life transition can be incredibly helpful.
So did you have a personal experience you wanted to share about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the fall, I was spending some time in Cape May, New Jersey, which is a short distance from Philadelphia, where my family has a vacation place. And on this particular visit, my aunt was in the final stages of her fight with cancer and was approaching her end of life. And for a variety of reasons, I was not able to visit her in person, which was very difficult. And I was very aware of her being in transition, experiencing some of that anticipatory grief of losing someone close to me, and the distress that I felt about not being able to be there with her in her final days. The natural environment of the area around Cape May, New Jersey turned out to be an incredible resource for me. I spent a lot of that week walking and hiking in the sand dunes, which are just incredible ecosystems. And it was October, which is the tail end of the monarch butterfly migration season in North America. So as I was hiking and walking through the dunes with the ocean just a short distance away, these beautiful creatures were flying through and resting in the dunes, stopping over on their way to Mexico where they spend the winter. And I was so inspired and comforted by this metaphor that the butterflies represented to me of the cycles of change and transitions, beginnings and endings, right? The migration of the butterflies and their natural life cycle, which we all learned about as kids in school, right? Starting with the chrysalis and then emerging and changing form. So this turned out to be a really poignant and powerful metaphor for me as I processed my grief. And it helped me feel more connected to my aunt who was going through her transition and really inspired me to think about how I can use nature as a way to support people who are going through a similar loss.
Sorry about your aunt. And thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, that's so incredible, the timing of that with the butterflies and the sand and the water. Like, what a gift to be in such a physically restorative space while you're in that moment of pain.
Yeah.
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 So in that similar vein, what do you think are some ways we can experience some of the benefits of ecotherapy right here, right now, with or without a therapist?
Yeah. So nature is always accessible to us, even if we live in the city, even if we live in a small apartment. So things that I will often encourage my clients to do are to connect to nature through houseplants. Having could be just like a tiny spider plant by their desk. It could be a pot of basil or rosemary in the kitchen. Just having something green and alive. It's well documented that that helps to literally purify and clean the air that we breathe, and also helps to reduce stress. We spend so much time in front of screens these days, including many of us as therapists, right? Yeah. And therapy clients. So it's so important to be able to step away from our devices and just step outside, even for 5 minutes. A short walk around the block can really help us to reset our nervous systems, reduce stress, improve our focus and clarity. And it can really boost our mood. So regardless of our physical abilities, there are things that we can do to bring some of the natural world into our home environments, and also to get out into nature, even if it's just standing in our front yard, if we have a yard, or on that strip of grass between the sidewalk and the street. And one practice that I really like is a grounding practice, where we just pay attention to the contact of our feet with the earth, and really allowing ourselves to feel supported and held by the earth, that we can actually pause and receive that supportive healing energy. It doesn't have to be complicated, but there are many ways that we can tap into the powers of nature just by using our bodies and our senses and what we have right now.
Especially the houseplant piece, having something to nurture, especially after a loss, that can feel really healing. I know that when I've done some therapy groups in the past, we would do the little terracotta pots and paint those just to kind of with a word or an image or a memory. And then you plant the seeds, and then that's something tangible that represents the work that you've done while in therapy group, and a reminder that like you get to keep taking care of yourself, just like you get to keep taking care of this plant and nurturing that and building that bridge, I think is really helpful.
That's such a great point. And that reminds me of a study that I heard about seniors in a nursing home. And there was a study where half of the residents were given a houseplant to care for. And I guess they were all given a houseplant, but half of them were told, this houseplant is your responsibility. It is up to you to water it and care for it and keep it alive. And the other half were told, here's a plant, we're going to put it in your room, and someone else is going to come in and take care of it. So you don't need to worry about that. And what the study showed was that the group of residents who cared for their houseplant, they actually showed significant increases in mood, cognition. They were feeling more connected because of the relationship they had with this living creature. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The act of caring for and nurturing something can be so healing, especially when we've lost a connection. Connecting with nature can really go a long way toward restoring that sense of being connected and not being quite so isolated and alone.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. The power of the houseplant. So a slightly different vein, you had mentioned with ecotherapy, how do we use that in connecting with nature, and in addition, like helping us address climate-related grief about our changing planet?
This is a topic that's really interesting to me, and I expect that this is going to be something that we're going to be hearing a lot more about in coming years. So already there are therapists who are starting to specialize in treating climate-related anxiety. Mm-hmm. There are support groups that are popping up. Joanna Macy has a wonderful program called The Work That Reconnects. That is a community-based program for helping helping people process their grief and anxiety about our changing planet, and also kind of a call to action, right? Sort of tapping into our ability to be advocates and activists for our planet. When it comes to grief related to climate change, I think one of the most important things that we can do is to talk about it. We've been facing this issue with a lot of collective denial for many years. And I think in the past few years, it's become more and more apparent that we can't continue to ignore this, that climate change is real, it's affecting us, and it's absolutely going to affect future generations.
Yeah.
So getting together and talking about it, just as it can be healing to talk about grief, which can be such a taboo topic in our culture, to be able to name what's happening, acknowledge it, and the range of feelings that that can bring up for people, including sadness, anger, powerlessness, right? And begin to think about how we can channel those feelings into helpful action in terms of taking care of our planet and each other. And I thought that perhaps I could read a short quote from a book that I really love, that's been really foundational for me and my understanding of grief. It's called The Wild Edge of Sorrow by Francis Weller, Rituals of Renewal and the Sacred Work of Grief. And he talks about the five gates of grief and kind of expanding beyond the individual to the family and the collective. And so one of the five gates of grief is grief for the sorrows of the world, which really speaks to this idea of a planet that is struggling and changing before our eyes. So Weller writes, "When we open ourselves and take in the sorrows of the world, letting them penetrate our insulated hut of the heart, we are both overwhelmed by the grief of the world and, in some strange alchemical way, reunited with the aching, shimmering body of the planet. We become acutely aware that there is no out there. We have one continuous existence, one shared skin. Our suffering is mutually entangled, the one with the other, as is our healing." And I thought that was just a beautiful quote, and making the connection that in order to heal our grief, we need to come together. There's a reconnecting that needs to occur. So whether that's interpersonal or connecting with the natural environment as a whole, that there is power in stepping beyond our individual experience and coming together in community.
Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. I love that visual of different gates of grief. Starting to just wrap things up a little bit, what would you say would be two or three important takeaways to understand that relationship between ecotherapy and grief and loss?
So when we are able to recognize that we are always in transition, it can help us both to be fully present for what is being lost and fully feel the sadness, the sorrow, whatever that grief brings up in us. We don't have to run away from it. And it's in fully feeling our grief that we're able to move through it. And that this understanding about impermanence can also help us to appreciate more what we have right now. So again, helping us to become more fully present and appreciative of all of the gifts of being alive, that both of these things can be true at the same time, the grief and the gratitude for this precious life. Another takeaway is that nature has so much to teach us. There are so many wonderful metaphors that we can find in the natural world. When it comes to the seasons, there are natural cycles of birth and death and renewal taking place all around us. This can really provide inspiration and solace to all of us when we are going through a difficult time or a time of change and transition, to remember that we are part of this greater whole where change is constantly happening, and yet there's also this continuity.
Thank you. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you were hoping we'd touch on, or a special nugget or story you wanted to share?
Yeah. So again, I think I just want to emphasize that we're living in a time where there is an abundance of grief, individual and collective. So whether it's personal losses, could be the loss of a job, loss of a relationship, could be, of course, the loss of a loved one. And also, many of us are still grieving losses experienced during the pandemic and the collective grief and trauma that we experience due to widespread illness and fear, and the many losses that we experienced during that time, as well as grieving some of the aspects of our cultural or national identity that have really brought up a lot of pain and suffering for many people, whether it's through violence, police brutality, unjust systems, and of course, our grief around the changing climate. There are so many areas where there is grief that needs to be acknowledged and expressed, and that this can feel really heavy. It's not necessarily something that we want to talk about or that's encouraged to talk about. But I think if we can create spaces that bring people together and allow them to speak from the heart and be received mindfully and with compassion, and to be able to generate some creative solutions for the challenges that we're facing as a society, that to me is really hopeful. And I think that ecotherapy represents a really exciting and powerful way of.
So you have some of your own exciting things coming up. Do you mind talking a bit about some of your projects, as well as where and how people can connect with you?
Absolutely. So in a couple weeks, I'm going to be co-leading an ecotherapy event with an organization here in Philadelphia called the Friends of the Wissahickon, which I had mentioned earlier, our beautiful Wissahickon watershed. This will be a nature hike and a guided experience that will integrate somatic and energetic healing practices to help us really feel and strengthen our connection with the earth. And you can learn more about that event at fow.org. In June, I am excited to be a participant in the Center for Nature-Informed Therapies summer training. This organization is based in Maryland and has begun training clinicians from all over the country in providing nature-based therapy. I'm really excited to be part of their summer cohort and participating in their certification program so that I can start to develop more opportunities for individuals and groups here in Philadelphia to experience the benefits of ecotherapy.
Great.
And if you are interested in joining my email list to learn more about future offerings, you can do that at www.skylightwellnesscenter.com. And I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. And I will make sure to add all of those links in the show notes so that our listeners can easily access you. And especially if you're in the PA area, are you taking clients still in your private practice?
Yes, I have openings currently for new clients, and I provide therapy virtually and walk and talk therapy. So as we're moving into the warmer months, if you are intrigued about getting out on the trails while engaging in therapy, let me know. I'd love to have a conversation with you about it.
Awesome. Well, Anna, thank you so much again for coming on the podcast today. This has just been such an interesting conversation, and I'm really excited to see how this ecotherapy approach continues to grow and morph. And again, and just another opportunity to find healing in those grief spaces with a new therapy modality. I think that's really exciting.
Thank you, Heather. It was so much fun to be a guest on your show. And I so appreciate you and everything that you're doing to normalize the grief experience and make these resources more accessible to the wider population. And I wish you the best with everything that you're doing.
Thanks. You too. I'm so grateful we got to have Anna as a guest on the podcast today. I think that integration of ecotherapy and grief is so beautiful. And in reflecting after my conversation with her, I just feel really compelled to share one of my own experiences with being involved with nature as a healing avenue for my grief. On the 5-year anniversary of my person's passing, my immediate family and I, we traveled to Hawaii actually. And one of the things we really wanted to do was be as close to them as possible physically on that anniversary of their passing. And so we went up to the very top of Mauna Kea because we were on Kona Island, and we went to the very, 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 very top. And so we had packed winter coats with us to Hawaii, which, yes, I realize that sounds so counterintuitive, but it was really cold. It was freezing. We went up there to see the sunset and the stars and just be as close as we physically could be to heaven and where we believe our loved one was. I remember there being such in peace as we were standing up on that volcano top in the cold with the clear skies and this beautiful sunset, and just feeling that connection. There was comfort there. There was peace in that moment, and just deep sadness that they weren't physically here with us. And so that felt so healing to be able to access that. And then, you know, we went down to the waterfront for dinner that night. And then we're literally sitting on a waterfront, hearing the waves rolling in and out. And I just think there was such beauty in, we were at the highest of highs and then we were down at sea level listening to the waves. And I don't know about you, but for me, water is always such a healing space. Anytime I'm having a hard day or a hard season, it's like, I gotta go for a drive and access a body of water in some way, a river, a lake, an ocean. Thankfully, I'm pretty fortunate up here in the Pacific Northwest. We have a lot of water-based options to access. I just feel really grateful that we got to have this conversation. I just want to thank you all for being part of this grief experience and growing and being curious. I encourage you to find a way to connect to nature in some way today. So until next time, remember to be kind to yourself. You're doing a great job. Take care.
Opening music provided by The Datacorns. If you are interested in collaboration, supervision, or future workshops, please check out my website at www.griefisthenewnormal.com, or feel free to email me with any personal inquiries, or if you're interested in being an interview guest, at hello@griefisthenewnormal.com. And please remember to follow or subscribe so you receive updates when new episodes are released or any other future offerings. Thanks so much.